Please pray with me. Oh Lord, we praise and thank you for this opportunity to gather under your word. And we do pray that your word would speak to us this morning, as our collect pray that you would grant us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your holy word as you speak to us. I pray that you would take my words, Lord, would you touch my lips and anoint your messenger here. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. You brood of vipers. I just wanted to start the sermon out that way. I've always wanted to do that. I have a great model for doing that. I have biblical license to speak to the crowds in this way. We are in the second Sunday of Advent, though according to my chocolate Advent calendar, there's only about 3 days left till Christmas. Sorry. The second Sunday of Advent is where we focus on John the Baptist. And in many ways, John the Baptist is one of the central figures of the Advent season. He really embodies for us the call of this season of Advent, the expectation and anticipation and preparation for the coming of our Lord. John's whole ministry is saying something big is coming. Salvation is coming. The Messiah is coming. Let every heart prepare him room. He is the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is the messenger that God has sent. Our Old Testament reading from Malachi. God said, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. For I am coming, and who can withstand the day? So someone is needed to prepare the way. John's ministry is one of always pointing towards Christ, making people ready to receive him. He is the bridegroom, the friend who is there to make that groom's day special. He always says that Jesus must become greater, I must become less. In verse 16 of our gospel reading, he says, he who is mightier than I is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John is just a warm-up. He is an appetizer. He is a precursor to the main show. It's not me, he says, but he's coming. John's job is to prepare the way, to make people ready, to lay the groundwork for the earth-shattering presence and work of the Messiah. God is coming to set things right, to bring salvation. So we need to make ourselves ready by living for him, choosing for him. Repent of your sins and walk in the light of God. Prepare the way of the Lord. This is the message of John the Baptist. And in many aspects of life, we have to prepare, we have to do some work to prepare for the real work that's to come, right? So when we're doing chores on a Saturday morning in our house, if we remember to do it, if we're on top of things, we're doing chores on Saturday morning, I need to get my kids to clean up all the toys off the floor so that we can vacuum the floor, so that we can do the real work. Some preparing work needs to be done so that the real work can be done. Or when a construction project is starting, the ground needs to be cleared away and leveled and a solid foundation laid so that the building up can begin. Work that is done to prepare for the real work. These things are making the way or laying the groundwork for the real work to be done. So it is with John and so it is with us. Our call as John's is to prepare the way of the Lord, because Jesus is coming. I mentioned last week, we've discussed before here how there are three dimensions of Advent that we acknowledge and remember and celebrate in this season. There is a past, a present, and a future dimension of Advent, for Christ has come. He came to earth 2,000 years ago, and we remember that first Advent of Christ when he came that John prepared the way for. In the present, Christ is coming to us, into our lives more and more. And in the future, we await his second coming, where he will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. There is a past, present, and future dimensions of Advent, because Jesus has come, Jesus comes to us now, and Jesus will come again. So, given that framing of three dimensions of Advent, I want to explore this call of John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord, in all three dimensions of Advent, past, present, and future. How do we prepare the way of the Lord? So first, let's look at the first Advent of Christ in the past that John was to prepare the way for. Because before Jesus came on the scene and launched his ministry and changed the world, we're told in verse 2 of our gospel, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John was not the main event. John was the forerunner of the absolute climax of human history. That the coming of the Messiah was the fulcrum upon which all of history turns. After centuries and generations of waiting for God to fulfill his promise, send the Messiah, he is now coming. And everything will change. So God sends his messenger ahead to prepare the way. Let's get ready for this. How does John do this? How does John prepare the way of the Lord? More than just by insulting his crowds, by calling them broods of vipers. He is, in verse 3, we're told, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He's calling people to repent of their sins. He's calling them to be baptized. So, two different elements that John is doing to prepare the way of the Lord. Repentance and baptism. We'll look at those two briefly. In Matthew's gospel, this is John's opening message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus echoes in the next chapter in Matthew's gospel. This is the core of John's message. Repent. He says in our text, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Because the axe is already at the root of the tree, ready to cut down those whose lives are bearing bad fruit. Repentance is taking that in your life that is growing bad fruit and cutting it off yourself. Because if the axe is already at the root, that means judgment is coming. And now is the time to repent. Now is the time to clean house. Now is the time to take stock of your own life, the fruit that it's bearing, and prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Repentance is turning from your sin, renouncing it, and turning toward God and committing to his ways. This is what's meant by repentance. It's a turning around of your life. So John is preparing the way of the Lord by helping people to see that there is a permanent solution coming for our sins. So make yourselves ready for it through repentance. Lay the groundwork in your own heart and life by repenting of your sins, John says. So if something big is happening in your life that's requiring of you a lifestyle change, say you're getting married or you're starting a new career, you have to change up certain aspects of your life because of this big event coming. If you are getting married, that means you need to stop flirting with other people. That's a lifestyle change you got to make. You got to stop searching the markets around you and prepare yourself to be exclusively committed to one person. That's a lifestyle change that's going to happen reflecting the big change that's coming. This is repentance. A big change is coming. Christ is coming to save us. So repent of your sins. Prepare the way for him. In addition to this, John also then baptized many people. Thus, the nickname, if you weren't aware, John the Baptist, because he baptized a lot of people. To give some context to baptism in John's age, because we think about baptism now as in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for salvation of sin, forgiveness of sins and entrance into the covenant community. That's our theology of baptism today. Baptism in John's day, prior to Jesus, he was actually borrowing from a tradition that had arisen in Judaism as a means for converts to come into Judaism. These were Gentile proselytes, those who had converted to become Jewish. Now, because Judaism was an ethnicity as well as a religion, a Syrian couldn't just say, well, I'm Jewish now. There was a process that they had to come to, and coming to faith in God, and coming into the Jewish faith, they had to go through this process of baptism. This came about in the Second Temple era of Judaism, because these Gentiles, they were ritually unclean. They were so covered with the sin of their ancestry and their pagan practices that infected their very bodies, that because of that, they couldn't participate in Jewish rituals. They couldn't enter any Jewish homes. They certainly could not be in any relation to the Jewish God. So baptism became this washing, a ritual cleansing, symbolizing kind of a rebirth that enabled someone who wanted to become Jewish to enter into it fully. It was a symbol of change based on the need to change. So that's the practice as people in Israel kind of knew it in the age of John. And John is now turning this practice on the Jews themselves. They were the ones who needed this ritual cleansing that activated their repentance to give them forgiveness of their sins. He's saying to the Jewish people, you are the ones that need to change. They couldn't just trust in their heritage anymore, which is what John says in verse 8. He says, don't begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For God, out of these very stones, can raise up children of Abraham. So, before John, the people could just trust that they're children of Abraham. They are the chosen people of God. Therefore, they are good. Because salvation was for the Jewish people. And so it was, in some ways, enough to cling to your ancestry and say, this is my salvation. But now God is doing a new thing with the coming of Jesus, bringing about real change, opening up the door to all the Gentiles, to all the world that God so loved that he sent his only Son. So this baptism of John that he's giving to the Jewish people is a way for them to say, I have sin in my own heart, in my own life. And it's more than just about belonging to Abraham, of being his descendants, his children, that I need to turn from my sin personally. And so this baptism of John was a way of symbolically cleansing themselves of sin, to prepare themselves for what was coming. So we need to ask, as it says, did this baptism actually bring about forgiveness of their sins? And I think it was similar in the way to how in the Old Covenant, those sacrifices in the temple would be for the forgiveness of people's sins. They had to keep doing it again and again. It was a way of atoning yourself for what God had done, for what you had done against God, rather. So it wasn't the permanent forgiveness of sins that we now have in Christ. It was a preparation for it that John was giving through baptism. So in the past Advent, the first coming of Christ, John is preparing the way for the Lord through repentance and through baptism. So now we look at the present dimension of Advent. that Jesus Christ comes into our lives in the here and now. This is also what Advent is about, Jesus coming to us. And as he comes, our call is to prepare the way for him in our own hearts and our own lives. Because we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth in the past as fully God and fully man, who died for our sins, who was raised to life again and now reigns at the Father's side, that we believe that this Jesus wants to come more and more into your heart and life today, here and now. Jesus wants to be more and more Lord of your life. And the whole process of Christian life and growth and maturing is about progressively allowing Jesus to take a greater and greater role in your heart and in your life, allowing him more and more authority in your heart and life, allowing him more and more prominence in how you think, in your habits, in your speech, in your relationships. Is Jesus the Lord of it all? That's the key question of the Christian life as we live in it and grow in it. Because the lordship of Jesus is not just a historical abstraction to us, but a present reality for us. And we believe that the Lord, the King of Kings, the Savior, is coming to you. So make straight his paths. Remove every obstacle. Prepare the way of the Lord in your own life. And I want to propose to us that preparing the way of the Lord in our lives is the work of what we call discipleship. Everything we view about discipleship, which is following Jesus, binding ourselves to him, reforming our lives to be more like him and more aligned with his values. We seek to obey him. We seek to engage these practices and disciplines that align our life with his life. This is what we call discipleship. Living out the Christian life, living in the rhythms of grace that we have been given. This process is essential for following after Jesus. This process also, we need to be reminded, cannot save us. And does not save us. And does not make us holy. Jesus saves us, and Jesus makes us holy. Jesus changes us by his Holy Spirit. Doing these holy things does not make us holy. But discipleship is the process of putting ourselves in a place where Jesus can transform us more and more, where he can make us holy. It's that binding ourselves to him and working to increasingly yield the authority of our lives to him more and more. So, when we engage spiritual disciplines, things like prayer, daily prayer, study of Scripture, fasting, service, evangelism, all these good disciplines of the Christian life, we need to remember that these things are not what make us holy in and of themselves. These are the things that prepare the way for Jesus by his Spirit to make us holy, to transform us. This is a point that I was, many years ago, deeply impressed upon me through Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline. If you're not familiar with that book, it's one I highly recommend. He says in there, the spiritual disciplines are a means of receiving grace. The disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. And so those of us who are in the mindset of this is what it looks like to live a holy life, this is what it means to be a Christian, doing X, Y, Z, this is what makes us holy. This is the mindset I was in for a long time. I do these things so that I'm righteous in God's sight. No. Jesus makes me righteous in God's sight. I do these things out of love for Jesus and enabling my, putting myself in a position where he can do more and more work on me, where he can transform me more and more. So the advent of the present is that Jesus is coming to you more and more. How will you prepare yourself? Prepare your heart, prepare your life and your habits for him. So the third dimension of Advent then is that future coming of Christ. That Jesus is coming again, and this time the whole world will see and know. He will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. He will come as a conquering king, riding upon the clouds. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And some will make that confession unto their salvation. And some will make that confession unto their judgment. If you have lived a life in rebellion against God, and then at the end your knee is bowed, and you're forced to declare Jesus Christ is Lord, that's not going to be good news for your life that has been in rebellion against him. So Jesus is coming again. And the world around us is not ready for it. Our call as Christians, as those who've been saved by Jesus in the past, who are yielding to him as Lord of our lives in the present, our call is to prepare the way of the Lord in our world, to make his path straight, to remove obstacles in people's lives, in the culture, in our workplaces and neighborhoods and families. We are to go before him as his ambassadors, as his heralds, announcing to the world that salvation is available to them in Christ and that he is coming again. Like John the Baptist, we are ever pointing toward Jesus. We're not pointing towards ourselves. We're not even pointing towards the church. We're certainly not pointing towards a certain agenda or ideology or political program. Our job here and now in this world is to point the world toward Jesus, to prepare the world for his coming. This is the task of evangelism and mission, which all Christians are called to. In different ways and by different means, we're called to this, but each one in the New Testament, it calls us an ambassador for Christ, as God is making his appeal to the world through us. This is how we will prepare the way for his coming again, by telling those around us about the hope we have in Jesus, the good news of the salvation that is for them. There are many in our lives, in our workplaces and neighborhoods and families, that need to know this. You think about how will your neighbors be found when Christ comes again? If he comes tomorrow, who in your life is that going to be good news for, and who will it be bad news for? Will they bend the knee to Christ with joy or with terror? We engage as well with mission around the world because the gospel must go to the ends of the earth. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So we can by no means hasten Jesus' coming. We cannot increase or determine the time of his coming by the effectiveness of our missions. But we need to help and support the gospel going to the ends of the earth. And we support many missionaries around the world as they engage the frontline work in many nations, because their mission is our mission. And through them, we are preparing the way for the Lord's coming. So, evangelism, mission, preparing the way is going to require calling others to repentance. It's going to require sharing the good news of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. This is what John is showing us. And when we call others to repentance, maybe we don't need to lead by calling them a brood of vipers. But we probably need to not be as accommodating to sin and evil as the world would like us to be. We may need to not avoid moments of conflict when we call others to repentance, to see that their sin is killing them, that there is salvation and forgiveness for them, and that time is running short. Are we prepared for that? The Lord is coming again, and coming soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but we need to be ready. We need to be watchful, and we need to prepare the way for His coming. Because Christ has come. Christ is coming, and Christ will come again. And John the Baptist embodies for us that call to make ourselves ready. Because Jesus is coming to transform, to make all things new, to bring His kingdom. And so let us, brothers and sisters, today make ourselves ready. Prepare the way of the Lord and make His path straight in ourselves and in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.